the book of 1 Corinthians. Let me begin reading there at verse 25. To foolishness as we know foolishness, there's none of that type foolishness in God. Because the foolishness of God, it says in this verse, foolishness of God, not as we know foolishness. And he uses this as an expression to set forth the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see, your calling, brethren, your calling, they called unto God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gospel. He's the good news. Paul, in the first chapter of this book, says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ." He doesn't say those that will be sanctified or are in the process of being sanctified. That's not the language of the Bible. That's the language of a carnal 20th century Christianity, that you're getting better every day. That's progressive sanctification, they say. You're getting better every day. You're better now than you was this time last year. Here it says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." Sanctified in Christ. Well, I just got through telling you that you was chosen in Christ before the world ever was. If you was chosen in Christ before the world ever was, you was sanctified in Christ before the world ever was. Set apart unto God Himself. Called saints, that to be there has been added by the translators. And there, they added that in order to make it more knowledgeable in their opinion, but not in my opinion. They are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Not to be saints, that's where Roman Catholics, you know, it's Roman Catholics get there. Sainthood grounded upon some good deed that a man performed. And of course they have got to, if they can qualify for the sainthood, they must have some miracles that they have done and have them witnessed, bona fide by reliable people, and then if it's all right with the Pope, why, he'll make them a saint. So we're not called to be saints, we are called saints. Called saints. Saints of God. Every believer in Christ Jesus is a saint of God. So they're sanctified in Christ, chosen in Christ, and called saints, with all that in every place, all together, all in this big family, the family of God, all that's saved by the grace of God are those that have been chosen by God, chosen in Christ, sanctified in Christ, called saints, they're all in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Our Lord, our Master, our Redeemer, our Savior. All right, first chapter, book 1 Corinthians. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. So you see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh. That is, there's not many real bona fide wise men with IQs that are 180 or whatever the high point is in this evaluation of a man's genius, I don't know. My IQ's not very high. I really wouldn't want to know it. I really wouldn't. I'd be scared. But then I would take some comfort if it was pretty low, because you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh. I might be qualified. Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty and men of renown. Not many noble are called. Are called. Now listen. If you be in Him, you've got to be called. And in that word called has to do with bringing grace. Grace of God's got to bring you. You can't come by yourself. You've got to be brought. You've got to be called. Everybody's not called. How come you're here this morning? How come you're interested? Because God created an interest in your soul for Him. He's made you to delight in Him. He hadn't done that for everybody. He's done that for those that He called. He called them. He didn't call them on the ground of their IQ. No nobility. He didn't call them on the ground of their renown. Not many. Called some of them, but not many. Not many. But who did He call? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things. Foolish things and weak things. God's chosen. Mr. Know-it-all, he went around him. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. They don't understand. They don't understand a thing that I've said so far this morning. Those that are wise in their own conceit. They don't. You talk to them about God making a choice before time ever was. You talk about God in covenant with the Son and with the Spirit and setting His affections upon those for the foundation of the world, they say is crazy. The base things of the world, the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Isn't that something? Hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh glory in His presence. And here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, to understand such a portion as this that I've read, intelligently and experimentally, is to glory in a covenant God, that is, in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. A covenant God. God the Father chose. It was His idea. It was His plan. God the Father. It originated with God, this business of salvation. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit covenanted with themselves to save so many out of Adam's fallen race. God the Father chose them, and God the Son said, I'll make atonement for them. I'll redeem them. I'll discharge every liability that's against them. I'll pay for every sin that they have ever committed and will ever commit. I'll pay for them. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll make the application or the appropriation of what Christ has done to their souls. I'll reveal Christ to their soul. I'll show them the things of Christ that they might know this blessed eternal God in a covenant relationship, that they might know Him and enjoy Him as a covenant God. Well, He is alone glory of all those whom He in love set apart before all worlds, who He has redeemed unto Himself by the precious blood of the Son of His love, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who He brings to Himself by the grace and power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. They are brought into a loving enjoyment of Himself by the testimony of the grace of God. This is opened up in a scripture found in Psalm 25 that I want to read to you here this morning. Psalm 25, verse 14. Listen to what it says now in light of what I have already said in regard to the last statement, that these people, the elect of God, these that are base things, these that are weak things, they shall be brought into the loving enjoyment of God Himself by the testimony of His grace. Now, I said that this verse here opens up that truth. Listen to this now. Verse 14, Psalm 25. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will God wills. God does. We try. He will show them His what? He will show them His covenant. Huh? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And His covenant to make them know it. To make them know His covenant. Why? Because His heart is ever with them. Ever with them. Them that He chose. Them that He sanctified. Them that He called. Them that He hath brought unto Himself through the testimony of the grace of God that's found in Christ Jesus, His Son. Because His heart is ever with His elect and redeemed people according to the purpose of His eternal love and unchanging mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. Now these words are precious words, and they were the precious words of David when he was ready to depart from this world. I think in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. Listen to this. Has to do with this covenant. Yeah, remember now, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and His covenant to make them know it, to make them know His covenant, to make them know His favors. That's what that means. To make them know His favors, His covenant. Precious words. Now here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5. David, he's about to go on to be with God. David's about to die. And this is some of the last words that David ever spoke upon this earth. And he said, although my house be not so with God. He said, I've got some children. They haven't got no hope. They're without God, without hope in this world. They're far off from God. They can't say what I'm about to say. That's what David is saying. Although my house be not so with God, yet my house is not right. My household is not right. My sons is not right. My daughters is not right. That's what he's saying. Yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And then precious words. He hath made with me a covenant. In spite of the fact it's not so with all of my household, yet hath made with me covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And what is this covenant to him? He said, for this is all my salvation and my desire, although he make it not to grow. Huh? Precious words of David, flowing from the heart of David as he was nearing the end of his life. Sure. The covenant, you see, is designed that all that are interested in it shall blessedly be made to know it. Let me say it again. The covenant is so designed by God that all that are interested in it, all that's interested in the covenant of God, shall be blessedly made to know the covenant. Previous to their knowing the covenant, they're all strangers to the covenant, ignorant of God, without hope in this world. But he would not, and he could not, leave these people in that condition. Prior to the Lord Jesus Christ coming into our souls, coming into our lives, prior to the revelation of Christ to our soul as to who he is and what he done, what he accomplished on our behalf, we were ignorant of who God is and what God has done. Ignorant of it. We had no interest in it. None whatsoever. God could not and would not leave the people that he hath covenanted, that he hath purposed to save by the grace of God through the blood of his dear Son. He couldn't leave them like that. He would not leave them like that. Although they themselves, in themselves, according to their nature, was bent on having nothing to do with him. Left to ourselves, we would have nothing to do with God. We wouldn't be interested in God, left to ourselves. If God had not arrested me when I was 20-some years old, if he hadn't arrested me and created interest in my soul for him, I wouldn't be here this morning talking about him. Because at that time, which was like every other time prior to that time, I was bent on having nothing to do with God. Nothing at all. But at that time, when I said that God would not leave his covenant people, his elect people, those that he chose, he wouldn't leave them in a condition like that. He could not and he would not. He would be everything to them, though they be nothing to him. I know in my childhood, in my youth, he preserved me. He kept me every step of the way. God did. When I was on my mother's breast, he kept me in perfect safety. When I was a boy, four, five, six, seven, 8 years old, in my wanderings from place to place, he preserved me. He kept me. My God, and I've had some wanderings in my day. In my youth, that have at times had their chilling effect upon me and my character and my outlook of life. Some of them has made me hard and cold. But God preserved me. Even while I was on my mother's breast, he preserved me. Preserved me in my childhood. And when I was a young man and went to the service, God preserved me. And he's kept me and preserved me unto the time and unto the spot when the Holy Spirit revealed unto me the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's kept me every step of the way since then. A covenant God. Oh, as my covenant God and Father in the Son of His love. And something better than that. Something better than that. He revealed His Son in me. In me. And if you're saved this morning by the grace of God, He revealed His Son in you. He did it. Listen to me now. He did it. He did not ask me, or He didn't ask you, would I like to know His covenant and enjoy His care? He didn't ask me that. Did He ask that to you? Did He ask you if you wanted to know His covenant? He didn't ask me that. Oh no. He sweetly, graciously compelled me without doing any violence to the will of His own making and made me agreeable. Made me agreeable with my full consent to come to Him. Oh no, He didn't ask me. Do you all know my covenant? Do you all know my Son? He didn't ask me that. No. He drew me unto Himself with irresistible power. He made me to experience a resurrection from the dead. I was dead in trespasses and in sin. And He quickened me. He did it. He regenerated me. And He compelled me without doing any violence to the will of His own making. He saved me against my will with my full consent. The work of my salvation is all in His hands. And having saved me and helped me up to this point, He's doing something else for me. He is daily proving to me that in the matters of salvation, He is my Master and my God. Listen. You see, concerning His people, concerning the elect of God, He has caused it to be written in the Scriptures. John chapter 6, verse 45. He caused that to be written. And this is what it says. It says, they shall be all taught of God. Every one of those that God chose unto Himself in eternity past, sanctified them, made Himself known unto them. All of them shall be taught of God. They'll come to know His covenant relationship. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the surety of the covenant, He's the sponsor of His people. He's represents His people. He is called in one place the second Adam. The first Adam represented the people. Represented all human flesh. The second Adam represented not a earthly people, but a heavenly people. that God hath chosen unto Himself before time. He came as their sponsor. He came as their representative. He came as their Savior. He's the surety of this covenant. And as the sponsor and surety of His people, He promised. He promised and He vowed for His people's encouragement. He said, all that the Father gives me, He promised this. He vowed this as the sponsor of the people that God gave Him. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You like that? Shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What do you think of that? That's a covenant God. That's what this is all about. They'll come when they come. He won't cast them out. That means under no condition, under no circumstance, He'll never cast them out. He wants us to enjoy. We want to enjoy God and His covenant. Unless a man knows something about the covenant, he can't enjoy God. That's the reason that, I think it was this morning early, I got up, it was around 5:30 or something like that, and I was going to see if Rush Limbaugh was on Sunday morning. And I turned the television on, and they had some fellow on there, Benny Hinn. I think that's his name, Benny Hinn. Yeah, funny looking fellow. And he talked there for a little bit about how he loved Jesus and all that. And he's going to be a blessing to those people. And you never seen the like of the crowd in all your life. They showed that vast auditorium. Martha said, look at the people. And it was just a great oval-shaped place. And it was packed, jammed full of people. And had the camera on them. And they were clapping their hands and waving. And some of them was going into various contortions. And and some smiling, some crying. And it was all just because he said, I'm so glad that Jesus loves us. And that kind of business. And he went on, and first thing you know, here come a fella. And he said he was a Roman Catholic, and he said that he'd been on a breathing machine. He'd been under oxygen for I don't know how many days, and he took off the oxygen mask, and he come walking up there to Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn was telling him, asking him a few questions, and he just got to Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn went like that, and that guy just fell flat. And then there's another person come up, he just went like that. He said, I love the power of God. Who's getting all the glory for that, I wonder? Does God get any glory out of that? Benny Hinn gets all the glory and all the money. He's a liar. There's no truth in it. Listen. All the Father giveth to me shall come to me. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. How do they come? That's what I want to know. How do they come? Come of themselves, they cannot. How do they come? Come of themselves, they cannot. They cannot make one step towards heaven in themselves. Can't do it. If they come, they must be brought. If they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they must be brought. They must be carried so in the bosom of God's love. He must bring them. He must carry them. He must take them by the hand and lead them. Carried to them in the riches of His grace. Oh, God sees our helplessness, our nothingness, our weakness, our inabilities, the fact that we are without hope and we're ignorant. We can't come. We don't want to come. He's got to make us willing to come. And then He brings us. He carries us unto God the Father in the bosom of His everlasting love, in the arms of His infinite power. He brings us to the Father's house. I told you about the Father's house. To His home of eternal love, which we will go to one of these days in reality. They shall come, He said. He made this vow. He made this promise. He said, all the Father giveth to me shall come to me. Shall come. They shall come. That's the decree of God Himself. They shall come is the decree of God the Father, the delight of His Son, and the doing of the Holy Spirit of God. They shall come. You say, I won't come. You will come if you're one of His. You will come. Sinful, you'll come to be saved. Saved from your sins. The helpless will come to be helped. The ignorant will come to be taught. The hungry will come to be fed. And the condemned will come to be justified. The disgraced will come to be honored. And the burdened will come to be blessed by God. Why? Because He said, I'll bring them. And they shall come with weeping in their hearts and praise in their lips. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I won't lose a one of them. Not one of those that Thou gavest me will I lose. They'll all be there. That's a covenant God. That's the God that we enjoy. They shall come. Listen, I preach salvation not of man's free will, but of God's good will. Free will hadn't got nothing to do with it. Man never had a free will, only in Adam. And you see what kind of a mess that got Adam in, got us in, was his free will. We haven't got any free will. Only God's got a free will. And I don't preach a salvation of man's free will, but of God's good will. Fleshly religion. And I was talking about it a little bit there with Benny Hinn and them fellas. That's a fleshly religion. That's a religion by sight. Fleshly religion feeds upon and rests in, feeds upon. Fleshly religion is nourished by signs and symbols and frames and fancies. Spiritual religion thrives upon covenant truth, a covenant God, scriptural facts, divine realities. And of these things, the Bible is full of, even the writings and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But of these things, of a covenant God, the world desires to know but little or nothing of them. A covenant God, the elect people, sovereign grace, bringing grace, triumphant grace, security of grace. The world desires. desires to know nothing of these things. They're of no interest to them. They're interested in that which feeds them. And that which feeds them and that which they rest in is rites and ceremonies. Signs and wonders. Give us a sign. Listen. Many of our day who profess themselves to be Christians are on the lookout for God. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I'll quit. Hold on. Most people in our day, most people who profess to be Christians, they're on the lookout for God, where God the Father cannot be found. They're looking for God where God can't be found. God can only be found in the person of Christ. That's the only where God can be found. Some seek for God in a vision in their own heart, where neither He or anything else that is good is. For the apostle said, "For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing." And that includes his heart. The covenant of God is designed that all that are interested in it shall know it. If a man's interested, really interested, he'll know it. Salvation is sought for in this 20th century in rites and ceremonies, but sought for in vain. No realization of the truth there. God, as the Father of His elect, redeemed, and regenerate people, is only known, and I insist on this, brethren, is only known in the Son of His love by the Spirit of life and light, and this only by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back there to these few words and I'll quit. First four or five words there in verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. The first word gets our attention. But. All kinds of buts in this world. There is the free willer. Those that teach that salvation is by your personal agreement to and acceptance of. Free willers. Now they have a but. They argue against the sovereign right of God to elect a people and save a people that He has chosen unto Himself. They fight against that. They say, but when you say, well, God has chosen His people in Christ before the world, what they say, well, but. Yeah, but if. God's got an answer for all that. I'll read this. Over here in the book of Romans. Listen to this. Ninth chapter. Of the book of Romans. Verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, free willers. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, doing all this bodily movement, but of God that showeth mercy. Listen to this now. For the Scriptures saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. This reason I raised you up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now listen. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will has mercy. Free willers object to that. Oh no. God loves everybody. He loves every single solitary son of Adam's race. He loves everybody. How come everybody's not saved? How come all this building's not filled up this morning with people coming to praise God and thank God for His everlasting mercy and goodness? How come? If He loves everybody. Oh no. He loves His own. He loves the elect of God that He chose unto Himself before time ever was. I'm telling you the honest to God's truth here this morning. That is the truth. So help me, God. I'll die believing this and preaching this. Listen. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Now listen. Paul anticipates some argumentative response. And he says, thou wilt say then unto me, now this is what you're going to say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long sufferings the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy? Listen to this. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. Oh, listen. God has a simple answer, doesn't he? A but from the mouth of God is ever the forerunner of some blessed and gracious truth, which says, but of God. But of God. See, that is the forerunner. That is the preparation of this glorious truth and promise and blessing. But of God are ye in Christ. That's the blessing. You in Christ? It's of God. Who purposed it before time ever was, and purposed the means, preserved and kept you unto that time, due time, unto that place, unto that spot where God revealed His Son in you. But of Him, it says, but of Him. Let me conclude by saying this. But of Him, but of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ? God put me there. God put me there. When did He put me there? He put me there. He chose me in Him before the foundation of the world. He called me here in time, and experimentally, and intelligently. I trusted in Him whom God has sent. But of Him, but of God, are you in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say but of Paul. You're in Christ. Paul was the preacher. But nowhere is it implied that Paul is the reason why they are in Christ. I'm the preacher. I'm the preacher. I do the preaching. I've been doing the preaching here for a long time. I never put anybody in Christ. I couldn't even put myself in Christ. He does not say, but of Him, he says, not of Paul. Not of Paul, not of the apostles, not of Apollos, not of Cephas, not of all of the apostles put together. Not of the unanimous consent of the church. Not of all the college of the cardinals. Not of all the college of the bishops. Not even of the Pope. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Not of all the religious associations and all the Bible conferences, but of Him. My last statement. Anything short of that is dead wrong. He puts us in Christ. Covenant God. Lord bless you. We'll meet again this evening.